ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। We are reading from the 10th canto, chapter 53, text number 18 and 19. Krishna Rama Disho Yattaha Kanyam Chaidyaya Sadhitum Yadyagatya Haret Krishna Rama Diryadu Hirvritaha Yotsyamah Samhatastena Krishna Rama Dvisho Yattaha Kanyam Chaidyaya Sadhitum Yadyagatya Haret Krishna Rama Diryadu Hirvritaha Krishna Rama Dvisho Yattaha Kanyam Chaidyaya Sadhitum Yadyagatya Harit Krishna Rama Dhyaryadu Bhirvritaha. Mataji's Krishna Rama Dvishaha, those hateful towards Krishna and Balaram, Yattaha, prepared, Kanyam, the bride, Chaidyaya, for Shishupal, Sadhitum, in order to secure, Yadi, if, Agatya, coming, Harit should steal Krishna, Krishna, Ram by Balaram. Adyahi and other, Yaduvihi, Yadus, Viritaha accompanied. read the other verse also. Yotsyamaha samatastena iti nishchita manasaha ajagmur bhuja sarve samagra palavahanaha. Translation. To secure the bride for Shishupal, the kings who envied Krishna and Balaram came to the following decision among themselves. If Krishna comes here with Balaram and the other Yadus to steal the bride, we shall band together and fight him. Thus, those envious kings went to the wedding with their entire armies and a full complement of military conveyances. Purport. The word samhataha, which normally means bound tightly together, may also mean thoroughly struck down or killed. Thus, although Krishna's enemies thought they were unified and strong, samhataha in the former sense, they could not successfully oppose the personality of Godhead, and consequently they would be struck down and killed. Samhataha in the latter sense.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. To secure the bride for Shishupal, the kings who envied Krishna and Balaram came to the following decision among themselves. If Krishna comes here with Balaram and the other Yadus to steal the bride, we shall band together and fight him. Thus, those envious kings went to the wedding with their entire armies and a full complement of military conveyances. Hare Krishna. So I beg the blessings of all the assembled devotees. So this is a very popular section from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. previous speakers have spoken very eloquently and have touched all the philosophical points on this subject matter. And especially it is very difficult to speak after Maharaj speaks. He has given an amazing class last Sunday. So the scene is that the kings, Jarasandh, Shalva, Vidurata, they've all banded together, samhataha, and they have decided to prevent any obstacle which would be presented by Krishna and stop the marriage of Shishupal with Rukmini. So that is their attempt, because they are having a inkling that maybe Krishna will come to kidnap Rukmini. So that kind of arrangement is made here. So here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he is playing with the Sanskrit here a little bit. So in this verse, samhataha, just as we have this word sankirtan, samhataha, which means that joining together. So here it actually means, or at least the kings who are speaking this verse, they mean to say that we will band together to cause the death, you know, of Krishna. If he comes here, we will fight him that way, or thoroughly struck down. So here, the another meaning given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is that samhataha, hataha means to kill, you know, to be killed. So here he is giving another explanation that actually Saraswati is actually meaning to say that all these people who are banded together will be killed together. Samhataha. Hataha means to be killed. Samhata also means thoroughly strike down that way. So we see that Goddess Saraswati, she is the deity responsible to bestow the words and empower people to speak. And she won't give any word which would potentially be blasphemous to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Goddess Saraswati herself is a devotee of Sri Krishna. So naturally, the word spoken by anyone, for that matter, against the Supreme Personality of Godhead must have another meaning, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's how it is here, it is explained. Saraswati. And recently in our congregation, there was a very stark reminder about how we depend on the mercy of Saraswati to, you know, speak. That's why we chant these prayers glorifying Saraswati. One of our congregation members, young boy, 39, 40 year old boy, unmarried, is having some problem with his fingers, couldn't hold things properly. So he went to the doctors, and doctors diagnosed, and they said something wrong with your vertebrae or something, neck or something. They were doing so many analysis, but they couldn't. They were giving him some medicines, some little yoga exercises and this and that. But finally, he got a brain stroke, and he couldn't remember his name. He forgot the language. He forgot English. He had to be told, your name is so and so. He just blanked out. It was a blank slate. Like sometimes you may open a computer and your hard disk is crashed. There's no data. That was actually the situation. Nothing. Forgot everything. So and he was looking absolutely normal. It was no sign of any fatigue or sickness. Nothing. Absolutely. Externally perfect. Hardware is perfect. Software is completely corrupted. And the doctors gave him a sheet of paper. You know, write down something. Write down a statement. And the doctors couldn't believe he was writing all gibberish. Baba, boo-boo, pee-pee, something, something. So it was quite alarming. And the doctors started laughing. What is he writing? Completely. What an intelligent boy. So, by God's grace, somehow he recovered, he's recovering, and he's getting back his memory slowly, slowly, he's picking up. But more or less like a second, third year, third standard student who's just picking up, you know, language, it's like that. So, doctors may give certain explanations, oh, it happened because there was a clot in the vein and it blocked the blood to the brain and that caused the brain stroke. But they may give their explanations, but they really couldn't give a solution. They really couldn't cure. They couldn't give a treat. They didn't give a proper treatment. So the analysis was wrong. And again, then they give an explanation for it. But Bhagavatam gives an explanation that it is the cause of that clot. Who caused a clot, by the way? So we can see that there are higher authorities, like, you know, Goddess Saraswati and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's actually giving remembrance and causing forgetfulness. So how we have to, realize these things and always depend and be humble, because anything can happen at any point of time. So here the soldiers have banded together, samhataha, come together. This pastime is taking place at the end of Dwapara Yuga, beginning of Kali Yuga, foreboding the nature of people that will be there in the age of Kali Yuga. Today if you tell, let's go for shopping, you will get 3-4 people to follow you, accompany you. If we say, let's go for a lecture, Bhagavad Gita lecture, you may not find anybody. We'll say, let's go for a movie, you may have your whole family to come with you. Say, let's go to the temple, you may not have anybody. We'll say, let's go to beat up somebody. You'll have the whole youths from the society follow you. You'll say, let's go help somebody. Probably you'll not find anybody. So this is what it is. In the age of Kali Yuga, for destructive purposes, you'll find a big assembly. And here we can see it's a assembly of asuras. Birds of a feather flock together. Samhataha. And you see, this kind of an assembly of asuras who think that they are right. Everybody thinks they are right. You see. And they want to convince you that you are wrong. And this is a very powerful energy which is all pervading in the world today. You know, we can see that also in this, all this terrorism which is going on. So many people, you know, from all over the world are joining these terrorist groups, and they're killing women and children, mercilessly beheading people. Samhataha, basically it's an assembly of all like-minded people who have got an opportunity to band together to create havoc in the society. So the only way we can counteract this is by banding together for Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So, see, that is the powerful energy. Like recently, just opposite our Kargar temple, there is Pandav Kada. Very nice place. It is the place where the Pandavas had camped during their exile period. It's in Kargar. Very beautiful scenic spot. And so I thought I should go there to see, take darshan. So because of that scenic spot, there are people who, you know, unscrupulous elements. They come, they drink and everything there. So that kind of, they spoil the environment. It's not spiritual environment, absolutely. So all full of people, hundreds and thousands of people taking bath in the waterfalls and everything. So it ended up that I was the only like a sadhu and a brahmachari there amongst all those people, you know, enjoying sense gratification. And we are in a spiritual place actually. It's a spiritual place where people should come together and ponder over what actually took place there. But it has become like a campsite. And I was like out of place, completely out of place. And some boys looking at me and looking, Are sadhu, maharaj, aap yahan pe kyun kar rahe? Kya kar rahe yahan par? They're asking me, what are you doing here? And I'm also thinking in my mind, what the hell are you doing here? You know, I mean, it's supposed to be a spiritual place. But then, that's what happens. They are in majority. You know, they were in vast majority. They were in thousands. And I was the only one, probably. And I was also started thinking, yeah, what am I doing here? You know, and I started raining. It was a few months ago. It was rainy seasons when I was opened my umbrella. And just immediately after some time, the rain stopped. It was sun. And I thought, okay, it's sunny. So let me, you know, continue. Let me keep the umbrella open. It's quite sunny. Like immediately just sun came out and I was thinking, okay. But then after some time, everybody started looking at me. Why is this guy holding the umbrella? You know, there's no rain anywhere. And I was thinking, what are people going to say about me? So immediately I, you know, closed my umbrella and I put it back in place into my plastic bag. And I started thinking, just see the power of, you know, gatherings. You know, when you are in a minority, they force you to think how they are thinking. You know, you are under pressure. So it's a very powerful forces, energy is created when people come together. And people come together for a negative cause, for destructive purposes. It creates a very positive energy. And the same kind of positive energy can be created if devotees get together to do Nam Sankirtan. That's the principle. And that is the only way we can fight the influence of Kali Yuga. So, here we can see in this pastime that Rukmi, the brother of Rukmini, he wanted to forcibly get his sister married to Shishupal, who was the personification of envy. And it was against the wishes of his own father. It was against the wishes of everybody in the village of Kundina. Nobody was happy that Rukmini was getting married to Shishupal. Because everybody knew that Shishupal was a personification of envy and he hated Krishna. But somehow he was very adamant, he was very opinionated. And we can see that this was his problem. You see? And today in this world, we find that most of the people are like Rukmis. Yeah. That nobody wants to listen. Yeah, nobody. Everybody is having their own. They're pig-headed, as they say. Both Rukmini and Rukmi have heard about the glories of Shri Krishna. In this pastime, we can see when Rukmini sends the letter, Rukmini Sandesh, Shrutva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara Shranavatamte Nirvishya Karana Vivarena Haratongatap Rupam Drisham Drishimatam Akhilarthalabam Tvai Achyuta Vishati Chittam Apatrapamme. So Rukmini is saying that I have heard Shrutva Gunan Bhuvan. So how did she hear? She heard from the visitors, to some Brajbasis who may have come to Kundina or some merchants, and they've been constantly speaking about the wonderful, glorious activities of Sri Krishna. How in his youth, how in his young days he killed Putana, he killed Trinavarta, Bakasur, Shakatasur, Denukasur, Aristasur, and all these different demons. And then he lifted the Govardhan hill and he killed his evil uncle Kansa. And all these things, it was known to everybody. It was a famous thing. I mean, even though they didn't have internet and WhatsApp, but certainly, you know, messages went through. They had their own network. And that's how Rukmini heard it. And that's how even Rukmini also heard it. Surely he knew and heard about the glories of Sri Krishna. But how glorious he is. He's a supreme personality of Godhead. The Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Sureha Deviya Chakshuratatam Tad Viprasu Vipanyaha Jagravamsaha Samindate Vishnu Yat Paramam Padam. He's a Kshatriya. Certainly he is having Brahmanas to come and advise him, and these are all verses from the Shastras extolling the glories that Sri Krishna is none other than Vishnu, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we must surrender unto him. But after hearing all these things, because he was so envious, Shishupala was so envious, he just couldn't take an advice. He just couldn't listen of what is the right thing. You see, and this is the cause of, actually in one sense, frustration in the end. Many of us have our own opinion. We're stuck to, we want to do what we want to do. And we cannot change it. Very obstinate. There's nothing wrong in being obstinate, but we have to be obstinate for the right cause. Once we are rightly directed by authorities, then we can be obstinate. We can be obstinate to follow Krishna consciousness. But Rukmini, he was wrongly directed. I'm sorry, Rukmi. He was wrongly directed, and unfortunately, he was misguided. That's why it is said today, you know, mostly when people are frustrated, they say, "Arey, kuch achha nahi ho raha hai, kuch achha nahi ho raha hai." Because ultimately, what will happen will be the will of God. Whatever we want, like here Rukmi wants Rukmini to get married to Shishupal, but he is bound to be frustrated. He is bound to be frustrated. So if we stick and we are adamant what we want, we are bound to be frustrated. And that is the problem even today, that in this world what happens is not our will. What goes on in this world, things don't happen because we want. Sometimes it may happen how we want, but not always. And therefore a person who is obstinate will always be frustrated. There is no doubt about it. And therefore, the only way how a person can be peaceful is when one lets go of that obstinacy and says, okay, not my will, as in the Bible it is said, not my will, but thy will be done. That's why in Hindi it is said now. Kaun kehta hai ki is dunya mein kuch achha nahi hota? Kaun kehta hai is dunya mein kuch achha nahi hota? यूं कहो जो तुम चाहते हो वैसा नहीं होता. So everybody says, oh, nothing is going on right. Well, everything was going on right, but things are not happening according to what you want, and therefore you are miserable. You see, so therefore there is a saying in, you know, we can say that don't try to change your environment. Change your temperament. So, that is a very important lesson we can learn from Rukmi, who was so qualified all of these people, they were having all these amazing powers, very powerful, learned Kshatriyas. Jarasandh, if you see, he was so dedicated to the, devoted to the Brahmanas, and all those qualities were there, but they were all misguided. On the other hand, we see in Ramayana, in Ramalila, you find Lord Ram is setting an example of a God-conscious leader. If a leader is God-conscious, then how he will behave? And we see that how, on a little comment of a washerman, Lord Ram banished his wife into the forest. Oh, I am not like Lord Ram to keep his wife at home even after she has spent 1 year in the house of another man. A comment like this, insignificant washerman, but Lord Ram, having heard that, immediately took it very seriously and decided to send his wife Sita, who was so pure, she had already passed the Agni Pariksha and proved her chastity, but still, just because the Praja's opinion is very important, banished her into the forest. Setting an example, what is leadership? Because a leader has a very important position. It's a very responsible position. A leader, according to the Shastra, is said to be the personification of the 33 crore gods. He is representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is actually God on earth. And everybody should respect the king as such. But what happens if the king doesn't, or if a leader doesn't behave along the principles of religion? Then that there can be havoc. Then there will be total chaos. And that's how you can see that Rukmi was so adamant, was not ready to hear. That's why, you know, all problems are because of this only. You know, people don't hear. That's why even in the morning class, Srila Prabhupada was speaking about hearing, very important. Everybody should hear. If you don't hear, a lot of problems. And you see that, I mean, you know, there was this, even, I don't know where I was, I was in Vrindavan, I think, and I was hearing one devotee, I think he was giving a class, I think he's here, I think. The topic was going on also about this, you know, about the family life, that how there, yeah, Prabhu was there, and I think he was, I was hearing a class, he was in Vrindavan, I think the similar topic was going on. And he was giving a class on, what is that, family problems. You know, how people fight, and problem of the fight are because people don't hear enough. You know, they stop hearing after some time. He's telling a nice joke, you know, that before the marriage, husband speaks, wife listens. And after marriage, wife speaks, husband listens. And after a few years, both of them speak and the neighbors listen. Prabhu was saying. So that's what happens. People don't listen, you see. I mean, they don't open their hearts. They just made up, decided what is the fact. Don't confuse me with the facts, because my mind is already made up. You see, people don't open their hearts. They don't hear. Problem. All the problem. You know, there was a sadhu, one so-called sadhu sitting under a tree giving blessings. Somehow all his blessings were coming true. People would come and say, Sadhu Maharaj, Ashirvad do, achha degree mil jaye, tadastu, would go. They would say, Sadhu Maharaj, humko aisa Ashirvad do, achhi naukri mil jaye, tadastu. Sadhu Maharaj, humko Ashirvad do, ki achhi patni mil jaye, tadastu. साधु महाराज हमको आशीर्वाद दो कि पत्नी के साथ अच्छा जम जाए. साधु महाराज लुकिंग एट हिम एंड सेज, ऐसा वरदान मेरे पास होता तो मैं साधु बनता क्या? So that was the problem, you see. That's a big problem. Because nobody wants to listen. Somehow people are allergic, actually. In fact, they are just opposed to listening. Just yesterday, I got a call from one friend I met, and he called me saying that my grandfather passed away. Would you please come and do kirtan for us? I thought it was a small family gathering. So I said yes, and I like to help people, especially during these critical times when people really need help. I couldn't say no, though I didn't know him so much. I said, okay. So I went, somehow the program was in a very five-star, like a banquet hall. Huge, air-conditioned and everything. It was a Shok Sabha, and it was a huge stage, and all the members of the family, the stage was that side, the members of the family were sitting facing the audience, and there was like that. So I was sitting on the stage, and I had to. So what had happened was, this boy who organized this program is Hare Krishna, ISKCON. And his family members are not Krishna conscious. So not everybody was happy that we are having this Hare Krishna program like this. So he was trying to preach to them, he was trying to give a message to the people who would come and attend the program. So that was his attempt. So I could understand that. So when there were around 50-60 people sitting, and all of those family members were sitting facing the audience, and everybody would just come and sit on the chairs. There was a photograph of this departed soul with a little lamp there and malas and things like that. And that's it. They were just sitting. They were just sitting and looking at each other. Nothing, no saying, nothing, no speaking, nothing. Just, and I reached early, so for about 15, 20, half an hour, I was just sitting there, and nobody spoke anything, just everybody was sitting like that. So anyway, the time came, I had to speak something, so I started with kirtan, and I started speaking, and so as soon as I started speaking, this man, the elderly man, I think people will become very restless if we have a talk at this moment, and we should cut down these programs and become very, people, and I could understand that how people would rather sit without speaking for hours, but when it comes to listening something from the Gita and Bhagavats, they don't want to do that. That's how Duryodhan, you see, Duryodhan also. When Krishna went to Hastinapur with a message of peace, Duryodhan said, I don't want to listen to you. No, I'm not going to give anything. So Krishna said, there will be war. Duryodhan said, fine, so be it. Krishna comes back to Dwarka, and Duryodhan comes behind him and says, why don't you help me in the war? What do you want? I want your army, he says. So everybody going to the temple asks so many things. But nobody wants to hear what God has to tell you. That is the problem. You see. So, as I said last time also in my class, that aajkal log bhagwan ko mante hain, magar bhagwan ki nahi mante. That is the situation. Actually, here we can see Rukmi is in that same situation. They believe that God exists. Oh, fine, that's okay. But they don't want to do what is the right thing. So here a very important principle, you see, that as Prabhupada brings out this point again and again, main principle is to become a devotee of Krishna. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunair tatra samasate suraha harau abhaktasya kuta mahat guna manorathe nasati dhavato bahi. So it is said that a person who is not a devotee cannot have any good qualities. Cannot have any good qualities. And Prabhupada so wonderfully explains it. In fact, he gives this example. Somebody is speaking about cow protection. Just recently in a program, one man came and he said, cow protection, cow protection. Okay, fine. I said, oh, very good. You're doing a good work. He said, why don't you also do cow protection? I said, we are doing. So, no, but so you should do more cow protection. I said, we are already doing, come and see a goshala. No, but cow protection. He started cow protection so much. I said, we are into Krishna consciousness, sir. We are preaching Krishna consciousness, and that is everything. That's very important. If people become Krishna conscious, then naturally they'll become vegetarians, they'll protect the cows, and everything is included in that. No, cow protection. I said, what? Give me a break. I said, you know, I mean, he was overdoing it, and he didn't know the importance of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said that the most important thing is Krishna consciousness. And he gives an example, a very amazing example, of some thieves who go and rob a bank. And they're coming together and they're discussing, okay, now we should be honest, okay? And let's distribute the money equally. And you take 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. And he's distributing very honestly. But where's the question of honesty? When they get arrested by the police, They cannot say that, oh well, we've been honest, you know, didn't I give you your share? Police will say, what the hell, whose property is this? This property belongs to the government. Similarly, everything belongs to Krishna, and therefore, if one does not acknowledge this basic principle, one does not become a devotee of Krishna, all other qualities are actually, in one sense, useless. It's honesty amongst thieves. And therefore Prabhupada says, the moment you become Krishna conscious, everything, yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvair guner tatra samasate suraha, he develops all the good qualities of even the demigods. And harau abhaktasya kutaha mahat guna, and if a person is not a devotee, then what are his good qualities? He has no good qualities. He cannot, even though apparently he may seem to have good qualities, he's behaving, but he's having some ulterior motives. And we can see in Kamsa's case, we can see in Jarasandha's case, he was very generous. In fact, when Krishna was planning to how Yudhishthira Maharaj should do his Rajasuya Yajna, he said that first of all, you will have to go and defeat all the kings. And Jarasandha is a formidable king and you will have to overcome him. And who can overcome him? It's only Bhima, me or Arjun. So let's go. And they then go as disguised, because they know that Jarasandha is actually faithful to the Brahmins. So they go disguised as Brahmins. Jarasandha was a worshipper of Brahmins, Brahminical culture. Just imagine. But he was not Krishna conscious. He was against Krishna. So, and then Bhima fights with him. They beg charity, we want to fight with you. He says, alright. And then Bhima kills him. Classic example of how a person cannot have any good qualities if he is not Krishna conscious. Here we can see Rukmi, Jarasandha, all these people were highly, highly qualified, but they were not Krishna conscious. And therefore, everything comes after Krishna. And therefore, in that pastime of Aristasura, when Krishna kills that bull, Aristasura represents a religion. Bull is a mark of religion. Krishna kills him, indicating that religiosity comes only after. If you use religiosity to kill Krishna, to push Krishna at the back, talking about religiosity, but there's no Krishna, no surrender to Krishna, then it is just empty ritual. It's nonsense. What is the essence of religion? It is to surrender to Krishna. So therefore, everything follows Krishna consciousness. It's like a check, you write a check, you know, you put a 1 and you put the zeros, the more the number of zeros, more the value of the check. But if you put the zeros before that 1, then it's of no value. After the 1, everything has so much of value. Therefore, you know, as in English, there's a saying that putting the cart before the horse. You can't put the cart before the horse. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is a very important principle. Prabhupada says that if you are a PhD, you are already a graduate. So that is the very important principle here. We can learn from Rukmi. And we can see that how, in the case of Kamsa, very loving to his sister, but the moment he heard that his sister's son is going to be the cause of his death, he immediately turned around. He was about to kill his sister. Somehow he spared his life. But then he killed all of her children. Not only that, he killed all the children in Mathura, newborn children. How merciless he was. What happened to all his, you know, good qualities? On the other hand, we see that how in Ramayana, Lord Ram, he performs the last rites for a bird, Jatayu. So sensitive he was. For the little service, he was so grateful. So grateful. Jatayu had rendered that little service. He was very grateful. He was a bird, he was a vulture. Even amongst birds, vultures are considered to be very degraded, the scavengers. But still the Lord set that example of a Krishna conscious leader. So therefore, a very important quality of a leader is that he should be non-envious. And here Shishupal, Rukmini, as it is said, represents the living entity who is going to be wedded with this material energy. You see, living entity is caught up in this material world. The soul is longing for Krishna, but the mind and intelligence is drawing him away. So similarly, we can see that we give in to envy. You know. And Prabhupada actually explains in a very wonderful way why we should give up envy. What is the philosophy? And we have heard, you know, even before, I personally, when I came to Krishna consciousness, even before that, when I used to hear that we should be forgiving, we should be good to everybody, and all that. And I used to think this is nothing but an excuse for being a coward, you know, to forgive. I mean, who forgives? It's only cowards. If you're right, you should fight for your right. That was what I believed, because I just didn't find any sense why you should forgive. Why you should forgive? Somebody has done wrong to you, somebody has caused you harm, why you should forgive? Maaf kyun karna chahiye? I just couldn't get my head around this concept. But then, when I came to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada so beautifully explains that everything is a law of karma. Nobody can be the cause of your suffering or the cause of your happiness. Gita explains, karya karana kartritve hetur prakritar uchyate purusha sukha dukha naam hetur prakritar uchyate. It is nothing but the material energy which is set into motion by your own actions. You do good, you get good. Do bad, get bad. So somebody who is causing you harm is actually simply acting as a medium to give back your own karma. So basically there is no question of forgiveness, because that person has done nothing to cause you harm or cause you the suffering or happiness in that matter. And that's the concept. And therefore when you say that you have to forgive, it's a fact, because that person is not at all responsible in any way. And forgiveness really makes so much of sense here, because why do you harbor ill feelings towards anyone? Nobody is. It's your own karma. If it was not your karma, why would you suffer? Because there's a perfect law in nature, the law of action and reaction principle set up by Krishna, and that never fails. So why should you blame anyone? And the day we actually realize this fact, that it is me alone that is the cause of the problem. You know, previously before coming to Krishna consciousness, I used to hear one song, Hollywood song. I think it was Sting or somebody who used to say, he says, I hate to say it, but it's probably me. You know, a nice singer, he sings a song. So basically, it's probably me, you know, who's at fault, which is the cause of my own sufferings or the cause of my own happiness for that matter. So here, the principle is giving up that envy, hatred, which Shishupal actually represents. Another very important concept which is taught in this chapter, in this episode, is the principle of binding with Krishna. Somehow having that connection with Krishna. And we see that in this pastime, after this pastime, Shishupal becomes a blasphemer, because Krishna comes and steals his wife, kidnaps his wife. He was going to get married, and Maharaj mentioned so wonderfully. See, as Ravan kidnapped Ram's wife, so in another incarnation he comes and kidnaps his would-be wife. A wonderful exchange. And in fact, we criticize Shishupal, we criticize Dantavakra, we criticize Ravan, we criticize all these people. But ultimately, we have to do pranams to these people, because they are none other than Jain Vijay. You see, they've taken such a thankless task of becoming demons in order to fight and give pleasure to the Lord. Because the Lord wants to fight, you see, that is another desire which the Lord has, and they've voluntarily accepted that service to become demons. So, Shishupal, it took one incarnation of the Lord to kill Varaha. I'm sorry, a Varaha incarnation was there to kill Hiranyaksha, one incarnation. Then one incarnation to kill Hiranyakashipu, Narsingadev. So one per demon. And then when Ram came, he killed both, Kumbhakarna and Ravan. And then eventually when Krishna came, he killed all these people. Shishupal, Dantavakra. You see the power of Purana Avatar. He didn't have to take separate incarnations to kill Shishupal and Dantavakra and all these kings. One incarnation and all gone. So very important lesson that, but what we learn from Shishupal is that when he got killed, he got liberation. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is asking that how is it? How is it that the gopis, they worshipped Krishna not knowing that he is God, they loved him as a lover. How is it that they attained perfection? They didn't know he was God. Or at least they didn't like to think him as God. How did Shishupal get liberation, mukti, a destination which is attained by great yogis? He was envious. He should have gone to hell. And then Parikshit Maharaj is told by Shukdev that yes, principle is this. That somehow or another, gopyah kamad bhayad kamso dveshad chaidyadayo nripaha sambandad vrishnayad snehad yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. That Shishupal, out of his envy, gopis out of their love, Kansa out of his fear, the Vrishnis out of their family relationships, you Pandavas because of your sneha, your love, and we souls, like Narada is telling about himself, because of our devotional service, we have all attained perfection. So, any of these five, kathamopi venasyat, panchanam purusham prati, tasmat kenapi upayena manak krishne niveshayat. So, it is explained in the next verse, he says that, kathamopi venasyat, you see that these sinful people like Kansa, Shishupal, they attained a very exalted destination even though they were sinful. But there has been others like Vena, who was also a sinful man, but they went to hell because they had nothing to do with Krishna. So therefore, tasmat kenapi upayena manak krishna niveshaya, that somehow or another, whether in a blasphemous mood or in a favorable mood, anukulyasya, pratikulyasya, in whatever mood, favorable or unfavorable, connecting to Krishna is a very, very important thing. The losers are not those who blaspheme Krishna. The losers are those who stay away from Krishna, who may be pious, but who have got nothing to do with Krishna. They may be impious, then they are even worse. If they are pious, at least someday there is some hope. But so being away from Krishna is the greatest sin. So that is the very important lesson we can learn from this episode. Somehow or another, we connect with Krishna and we help others connect with Krishna. And the best way to connect to Krishna in the age of Kali Yuga is Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi.